Okay, we'll start the May 9th, 2013 Technical Advisory Committee meeting. I think we have a quorum, so we'll go on to our second item, the minutes for the March 14th, 2013 meeting, and we need a motion for this.
Motion to approve.
Okay, second?
Second, Jasper.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right, third item on the agenda are staff reports. The first one is the financial progress report, and we need a motion on this, and Curtis Baker will give this report tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, a couple of house cleaning things. One, I wanted to make sure I introduced a couple people. AMATS is going through its federal certification process right now from we've got representatives from FHWA, Andy Johns. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. Yeah, Andy Johns. We also have representation from ODOT, Sarah Walton in the back, and Juana Hostin, sorry. And then also we have a new planner at Metro RTA, Chris Lilleblad, over there in the corner. Welcome to AMATS, and thank you for participating. And the final thing is, I think many of you know, our director, Jason Segney, got married a couple weeks ago, and sadly, the week after his marriage, his mother passed away last week. And so he has been, if anyone's been trying to get in contact with him the last couple weeks, he's been out and will continue to be through the end of next week. So if there are any issues or any major things, please contact Victor or I or anyone else on the staff. But he might not be responding to any emails, phone calls, et cetera, if there are any things pending. So just a housekeeping, and keep his family in your prayers, if you please. But other than that, financial progress report, pretty much 61% of the funding has been spent through April. Obviously, we're on the state fiscal year, which goes through the end of June. And I think we're pretty much right on schedule. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Second? Tony? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, the next staff report is the technical progress report, and Curtis will give this one also.
Thank you. All right, technical progress report. I'm not going to report on too many things that have happened. Actually, a lot of what we've been doing has been preparing for this certification, as well as this meeting and the policy committee meeting. As you've probably seen on the agenda, it's quite full with resolutions that need to be acted on this month. So that's what the staff's been doing a lot of. We did have our first bike and brainstorm of the year, April 20th in Kent. I'd like to thank Kent and Parta for both really doing a lot of stuff to help. It was snowing. It was a Saturday morning, and we had 62 people come out and participate in the bike and brainstorm. So we were really pretty impressed. We did have to start a fire on the floor of the Parta bus because everyone was freezing. But we survived. So it was a very good event, and I believe we're now working with Green to look at doing another one this summer. And if any other communities are interested, we will be hoping to do at least one more this year. So that's it's been exciting, and I think it's given us a lot of good feedback, and it seems like the public really enjoys a different kind of public meeting. But with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Curtis? Okay. Next item is the AMETS Federal Funds Report, and Victor Lovison will give this.
Thank you. Looking at our funding program balances table, you know the fiscal year ends June 30th, which is like a month and a half away. ODOT closes their books, I think the first or second week of June. So that means we only have about a month or less to encumber funds for this year. If you look at that table in the fiscal year 2013, you see there's still a group of projects that are not enrolled, meaning funds, our funds have not been encumbered yet. We know that a majority of those have been sold, it's just there's some lag time between when the projects sell and the funds are recovered. So I'm pretty confident that most of those projects will go this fiscal year. And we'll have our next meeting in July, we'll have a report on the end of the year. And if you go to the second page, you can see where our resulting balances are for the fiscal years. a couple of things I want to mention. The CMAQ funding program now shifted to a statewide focus rather than an individual MCO basis. We came up with a working draft, a policy for this new program. But right now, it's kind of like on hold. The executive directors from all the MCOs in Ohio are going to need to throw it out one more time to clarify some issues. Until that meeting happens, we're just going to keep you in touch on what's going on. But we're not moving forward with that draft, making any changes at this point until that meeting's held. So we'll be busy this summer. We're going to be working with our PCR, coming up with a RFP for soliciting vendors to do the payment condition ratings in our area. We'll be doing that. And then also we'll be looking at our funding policy. This fall we'll have a new round of funding, and the first thing we do is over the summertime is we open up our funding policy guidelines to see what changes need to be made before we start that next round. So that's all I have on this item. If anybody has any questions, we have to answer.
Questions? All right, thank you. All right, we have no old business. Under new business, first item is a presentation by FHWA FTA team regarding AMET certification review process, and Andy Johns will give this presentation.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day here. I'm representing the Federal Highway Administration. I am with the Federal Highway Administration out of the Columbus office, the Ohio Division. I'm also representing the Federal Transit Administration today as well. They could not travel for the certification review, but have been engaged throughout the entire process. You know, it's a great day to be here because three of the primary products of the MPO we're going to decide upon at least the TAC level today, which is your work program, your long-range transportation plan, and your transportation improvement program. Periodically, the Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration takes a quick look at the MPO and how they're functioning, ensuring that they're meeting federal law. That was the purpose of us being here today. This evening, we will have a public meeting to get some input from the public at the main library downtown. This morning, we had very productive conversations with transit operators, ODOT, and AMAT staff. We went through some topical items, including the organizational structure of the study area, fiscal constraint, financial planning, transit planning, and some more things. Our role is to just ensure that everything that AMATS is doing is meeting federal law. After this two-day on-site visit, we will produce a report. We will deliver that to the policy committee and also provide them a brief summary down the line in person. There are three ways this report can go. We can certify and indicate that everything's been met. We can certify with certain conditions, or we cannot certify. I'm fairly confident that there are no issues with AMATS. You have a great MPO. You have a great staff. I do want to indicate, though, that our review is not particular to AMATS staff. It's on the transportation plan. So I just wanted to let you know we were here, why we were here. We view it as an opportunity to have a collegial conversation and also maybe provide some opportunities for enhancing transportation planning in the AMATS region. Certainly, if you have any questions, fire them at me, but that's pretty much it.
Any questions for Andy? All right. Thank you. Okay, the next item under new business is a presentation regarding the Ohio Public Works Commission funding. And Aaron Siebel will give this presentation.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Aaron Siebel with the Summit County Department of Community and Economic Development. I serve as the District 8 liaison for the Ohio Public Works Commission. District 8 is Summit County only, so I apologize to those of you that aren't in Summit County, but you still have your own district, and they're also probably just going through the same process right now that we are. Some of you have already RSVP'd for my workshop, which is Tuesday, and I hope to still see you there, even though I'm giving you a little overview today. The draw coming on Tuesday is that Kim Kelly will be in attendance, and she's our program representative for OPWC, and she's the expert, so if you have like real technical questions about the program, she'll be there and she can answer them. And I don't expect there to be tons of people, so you'll even have some good one-on-one time with Kim. It's a good opportunity to talk to her. So we just received last week our allocations. Oh yeah, you said turn it on. There we go. So this is our program year 20 allocations. That's 2013 to 2014. As you can see, we've got about $2.6 million in LTIP. About $6.1 million in SCIP and $1.2 million in our revolving loan program. This is pretty similar to what we got last year. It's only about $47,000 more that we received under LTIP. And as you can see, we have different breakdowns. The county engineer gets their specific allocation. The municipalities have their own allocation, but they pretty much get what everybody else doesn't get. But so the county allocation, which is about $326,000, the township allocation, $175,000, and then the rest of it go to the general allocation. LTIP, if you don't know, those are for road projects, and SCIP, if you have it, are for water and sewer, those type of projects. LTIP is grants only, and SCIP is grants for loans. So you have a few application options. This is pretty much the same as it's been every year. You can apply for SCIP. SCIP for either a loan or a grant, but not both. I'm checking on that because I'm getting two different, I'm not getting a clear answer on why we have it like that. I know a lot of other districts allow you to apply for a SCIP project and ask for a 50% grant and 50% loan. You don't really do that in Summit County, but I'm checking on that. So maybe Tuesday I'll have better news on that. LTIP, you can apply for a SCIP loan and an LTIP grant. That's always been the case. This year, though, we're making you submit two applications. Before, you could just submit an application and just we would consider it for every funding stream that we have. We're not doing that now. You have to actually submit an application and say you want this to be under a SCIP loan and we want this one to be an LTIP grant. Just to make it clear, because there was a lot of issues. So we're asking you to submit an application for each funding stream that you want to be considered under. And it won't be considered a complete application. It won't be accepted if it's not a pool application if you try to not do that. Just some frequent questions that we always get for our district is the replacement of septic systems with sanitary sewers is considered new and expansion of District 8. That's a big issue that we always have every year. We'd like to reiterate that. We actually put it in the application this year so that people aren't confused. We're still trying to get around that and then go through all the process. That's the case for District 8. Villages or townships, less than 5,000 in population, you can be considered under the small government program, but that's if you are applying on your own and not in conjunction with Summit County or another city. Another change this year will be our most controversial sometimes question, which is question 17, which is our discretionary points question. The change that we have this year is making you can get 10 points maximum. It used to be 5 points, so now you can get up to 10 points, which is a little better. You still have to make sure you're submitting backup documentation for any points that you're trying to request. That's the biggest thing if you're asking for that you're doing, that you have all these problems, that you're not submitting pictures, you won't get your points. And then we just request that you. You know, if you're saying that your street is flooded all the time and you should get some bonus points, submit pictures that show that you're flooded. Another change is that capacity enhancement level of service that was included as one of the descriptions. I don't really know what that means, but that's why we have a TAC that has actually done the score. And the other change would be at the TAC level. I don't know if any of you have submitted applications in the past, but people are requesting the 40 points for the significant regional impact. That's a big issue that we've had, and we're sticking with that. The only change would be that the TAC doesn't have to approve that unanimously. It's only 4 votes, which saves a little time. The biggest change that we're having this year is that all applications can be submitted electronically. I want them submitted electronically, but I understand you don't want to do that. But so this year it's not mandatory. But all of our documents are fillable PDFs, so that when you enter in your information and auto-calculate, you don't have to add. That's always been a big problem. The numbers didn't add up. And just so everything that we've created now is a fillable PDF. We ask that I would like you to email your applications. Like you said, I'm not requiring it, so it'll be kind of a learning process this year. Plans, I'd like you to email them to me too. I'm told that this is easy, but I don't know. So that's going to be the biggest change, I guess, from prior years, is that if you're going to submit it electronically, you only have to submit once. You don't have to come to my office and bring me a stack of boxes and all this stuff and sign in and do all these things. So just if you submit it by email, I'll respond and say that I got it. You're good to go, basically. Our deadline is June 28th. It's always going to be the last Friday in June, so that's not changing. This is just the dates for the years, for this year. The TAC will review them all over the summer. We'll have the approved project in November. Our new county website, if you haven't seen it, go to it, but go to it via Google Chrome, as if you're going to it through Internet Explorer or another web server, it's not going to look like this. So that's just a thing that was an issue. So just go use Google Chrome, but this is where you're going to go for the district 8 applications. They're up there now. I wasn't really trying to hide them from anybody, so they are up there now. So go use them, print them, look at them. They're going to be under that first green little box there. You click it. So that's our website. Again, the application deadline is Friday, June 8th, 12 to me. Either email it, or you can come to my office and deliver it to me. Contact information, that's mine, that's Kim's. Like I said, so we will have a more extended version of this presentation on Tuesday at 9 o'clock at the County Council Chambers in Summit County. I encourage everyone to attend. I did just want to point out, I know a lot of issues people have had in the past is that, you know, AFRIN gets all the money. I know we always hear that. But I just want to say last year I had 14 applicants from different communities. We had 14. Oh, I'll say, so last year we had 14 applicants, 28 applications, and 12 of the applicants got funded. So only two entities didn't get funded last year. So it was a really successful year. Most people, we had 10 that received funding directly from District 8. And two of the smaller governments receive full funding from the small government commission. So I encourage everyone to apply. Like I said, last year was great. I expect for the same thing this year with that many people. I know I talked to some people that really wish they would have applied last year because they saw how the points broke down and that, you know, most people did get funded. So if anybody has any questions, I hope to see you on Tuesday.
Is the small government program, is that from a different pot, or what's the advantage?
It's a different pot. Okay. It's $15 million a year, and it's statewide.
Okay.
But, and it's grants and loans, but Summit County has pretty much always gotten all of our projects. We can submit up to 10, I think.
So it's competitive statewide?
Yes. Okay. But it's, I mean, there's usually smaller projects,
right.
So a lot of them get funded. We've always gotten our projects funded.
Okay.
Funded.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Aaron? All right, thank you, Aaron. All right, now we'll move to resolutions. And the first resolution is Resolution 2013-4, Connecting Communities Planning Grants Awards for FY 2013. We will need a motion, or we're requesting a motion on this. And Heather Davis, Rydell will give the presentation.
Okay, good afternoon. No, I didn't.
Oh, you're bigger than it is.
Yes, I do. All right, today I'm talking about Attachment 6A, the fiscal year 2013 Connecting Communities Planning Grant Award. Hopefully, most of you are aware this is our third round of funding for the program. We made the applications available for this round online November 30th and received 10 10 applications by our January 15th, 2013 deadline. So if you look in your packets, you will see we have a brief description of all of the applications as well as their scoring and rankings. The Connecting Communities Task Force met on February 21st to evaluate the applications and the staff's initial scoring. The task force recommends that planning grants be awarded to the City of Barberton for their North-South Community Connection Plan and jointly to the townships of Bath and Copley for their Montrose North-South East-West study. The City of Barberton's North-South Community Connection Plan will identify ways to improve the connection between the residential areas to the south of the study area and the downtown and Lake Anna recreational area to the north. These areas are separated by a large industrial zone as well as the Tuscarawas River and the Ohio and Erie Canal, both of which run north and south. All of these divides make it difficult to travel any other way than by vehicle. Complete streets recommendations are needed to better serve all users as well. The Montrose North-South East-West proposal recognizes that there are many issues that need addressed and that this study will be limited in what it can accomplish. That being said, the staff of the task force felt it was a major regional issue and providing a big picture view is necessary for future investment decisions. So as all of you are aware, I'm sure, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to travel by foot or bicycle in Montrose. You may or may not have noticed that bus stops are separated from retail and job centers by humongous parking lots. An access management plan is also needed. This study will focus on bicycle and pedestrian improvements as well as transit and vehicle access. There may also be recommendations for signage and aesthetic improvements. So the staff is asking for approval of the City of Barberton and the townships of Bath and Copley as planning grant recipients for the fiscal year 2013 planning grants. If you have any questions, I will do my best to answer those.
Any questions for Heather? All right, if not, we'd like a motion on this.
I will call the party.
Okay.
Brian Smith, Carter.
Okay. all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Against? Okay, motion passes. All right, the next item is Resolution 2013-05, approving the final draft of the Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal years 2014 to 2017. And we are also requesting a motion on this. Victor will give the presentation.
Thank you. In your attachment is just the listing for the highway and the transit projects. The whole document is up on the website. We can pass that out. Essentially, most of you in this committee are well aware of what the TIP is. It's a list of highway, transit, bike projects. There's federal, state, and local funds. And in order to receive federal funds, the project has to be listed in the TIP, and of course, has to be consistent with our vehicle transportation plan and long-range plan. Agencies use this for project coordination, and of course, this is information from the public so they know what projects are coming up in their area. Along with that, we have some federal requirements that we have to meet: financial balance, air quality, conformity, and public involvement. Met all those requirements. Financial balance simply just means that we have enough funds in this area to support these projects over the next 4 years, which we do. We did an air quality conformity analysis for the plan because projects are consistent. TIP projects are consistent with the plan that also includes the TIP. We are within the budgets that are allowable for the mobile resources of ozone and PM2.5. Lastly, public involvement. We had a two-week public involvement period. We also had two meetings within that time period. So on April 9th and April 18th, we had a total of five people show up at those meetings and did not receive any comments. The total amount of funds that are programmed in the TIP is $667 million. Slightly more than the last TIP. And just some trends, you definitely see it as far as capacity type projects. That's a lot less than we've had in the past. So that's gone down. That's the most significant change that we've seen as far as trends in the TLP. So as far as what our priorities are in AMF, we see that coming out in projects for the maintenance and preservation type of projects. So with that, again, this document's up on our website. It's a big document. We have submitted this on to ODOT. They're going to submit that on to the Federal Highway, and we expect to have approval of this document by the end of this fiscal year, June 3rd. So with that, if any questions?
Any questions for Victor? Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
Are we looking for comments on Project 50? Howe Avenue, the total cost that we have for the numbers in the description.
Yeah, because it doesn't show what the total project cost shows is the actual total project cost. If the phase doesn't show up within the 4 years, it still has the total project cost. Is that what you're referring to?
Okay, so there's cost of 18 million.
All right.
Okay, right.
And this is one of those projects in order to meet my financial constraint, we had to move outside.
Any other questions for Victor? All right. Thank you, Victor. We are requesting a motion for this.
Tony,
okay. Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Next resolution is 2013-06, Adopting Transportation Outlook 2035, the Regional Transportation Plan. We are also requesting a motion on this. Krista Benison will give the report.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. The draft was presented at the March committee meetings. The Transportation Outlook 2035 is the region's Regional Transportation Plan. It identifies policy and project recommendations between now and 2035 regarding long-term highway, transit, bike, and pedestrian recommendations. In order for projects to be eligible for federal funds in our area, they must be on or consistent with this plan. Attached to the memorandum are the lists of all the projects, if you want to take a look at those. The plan recommends over $6 billion of transportation investments between now and 2035. The plan has gone through several rounds of public meetings. There was a 45-day public comment period. We had meetings in Akron and Kent on April 9th and 18th. We also had the plan available at several locations, including District 4 in Farda. And we had promoted it with social media and also on our website. The plan also meets the federal requirement for fiscal constraint, air quality, and environmental justice issues. And as before, the main recommendation of the plan is a priority on preservation. And then there's also a lot of discussion on promoting alternatives such as transit, bike, and pet. I would be happy to answer any more detailed questions, but that's it. If you have any questions?
Question for Crystal.
Everybody read the 150-page document. Happy with it?
Yes.
The entire document's available online. If you would like to look
you
at
can
it.
Take your time.
Yeah.
But the meat is the tables of the recommendations and the policy recommendations that brought at the March meeting. So.
All right, then. If no one has any questions or comments, then we'd like to have a motion on this.
Brian.
Okay, Brian. Okay, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. All right, the next item is Resolution 2013-07, approving the FY 2014 Transportation Planning Work Program Budget, and a motion is required for this. and Jeff Gardner will make the presentation.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon. Annually, the MS Policy Committee adopts a work program and budget for the staff for the upcoming fiscal year. Fiscal year begins July 1st. The work program identifies the planning activities that will take place in the upcoming fiscal year and describes the funding sources to pay for them. The draft of the FY 2014 work program was approved by the policy committee in January. It was subsequently submitted to ODOT for review and comment. Staff met with ODOT and Federal Highway in April, and no changes were requested to the work program at that time. The major elements of the work program remain the same as the version approved in January. This includes the maintenance of the new TIP and the Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook, traffic counting program, the integration of planning requirements following the passage of MAP 21, and a new round of project funding beginning this fall. The local share table also remains the same as the one approved in January. Approximately $156,000 in local share dues is requested in order to fund a total budget of $1.9 million for metropolitan planning in the area. The staff is requesting approval of the FY 2014 work program.
Questions for Jeff? All right, if not, we need a motion. All in
favor? Yes, for a second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes. The next item is resolution 2013-08, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and Transportation Improvement Program and affirming the consistency between the Regional Transportation Plan and Transportation Improvement Program and the State Implementation Plan. And we need a motion for this also. And Jeff will stay up there.
Thanks, report.
These are two routine resolutions that AMS must pass each year in order to remain certified as a Metropolitan Planning Organization. Resolution 2013-08 affirms AMAS annual approval of the Regional Transportation Plan, this year being assumed to be newly approved Transportation Outlook 2035. The same resolution also reaffirms the new TIP and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the State Implementation Plan for Air Quality Conformity. Resolution 2013-09 certifies that the AMAS transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. Staff recommends approval of these two resolutions.
Any questions for Jeff? Okay, if not, we need a motion.
So
moved.
Second?
Second. Your name? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes. Resolution 2013-09, certification of urban transportation planning process. I don't know.
Oh, two separate.
I have two separate.
Yeah, we did the first one, and he presented both of them.
Oh, we did? Okay.
As combined.
Oh, okay.
We need to vote twice.
Okay. No. We need another vote for that, then. This is John Drew. Okay. Second. Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Other business?
None.
Okay, if no other business, we are adjourned. Next meeting is July 18th, 2013. Thank you.
Thank you.